We are going to spend 40 minutes. Right now, we have 40 minutes left to study how to lead an effective Bible study by book. So far, we have studied how to effect Bible study by passage, by chapter. Now we're going to book. How many books are there in the Old Testament? How many? 39, right? How about New Testament? 27, right? 3 times 9 equal to 27, right? And you add up together, how many books? 66 books, right? So all the 66 books God put there has different purpose. And these 66 books come piled together to become one Bible. So in order to know what is the purpose of a particular book, we have to understand the structure of the whole Bible. Because every book is part of the whole Bible. Now, if we fail to understand the structure of the whole Bible, and you focus on one book, sometimes the direction probably will go a little bit astray or totally astray. But if we understand the whole structure of the Bible and this book just in part of the structure, and then we study the whole book, we will never go deviated very far away. For example, there's a book called Romans, right? And there's another book called James, right? Now, when Martin Luther embarked religious reformation, he considered the book of James as garbage. Why? Because the book of James talk about the righteousness obtained from works. And we all study the book of Romans, right? The book of Romans talk about the righteousness come from works. It doesn't work. So that is the reason we need to be justified by faith. Right? So if you only look at a particular book without looking into the whole picture of the salvation, you probably will go like the same conclusion of Martin Luther. But if we know the whole book of the Bible, including the book of Revelation, and then we study the book of Romans, we know we cannot be justified by our work. That is talking about before we believe in Jesus. Before we believe in Jesus, there's no way you can become a righteous person by observing the law. But after we believe in Jesus, the book of James talk about body without soul is what? Dead body, right? It's just like a faith without what? Without works. Also, we know the book of James, that behavior, that kind of righteousness is after the conversion to Christ. We need to rely on Holy Spirit, really rooted our faith so that our life can become transformed. So when we understand the whole picture of the salvation, then you know the book of James, that righteousness, and the book of Romans, that righteousness, will not conflict to each other. So that is the reason when we study particular book, we need to know the whole structure of the Bible so your interpretation will not go astray. Now, the Old Testament, if you read the proper, don't have too much time, or somebody can read aloud. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Hey, anybody read it? Read aloud, because you already have lunch. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Hey, brother, be manly, read aloud. Don't let the sister read louder than you do. Otherwise, how can you become head in the future? Yeah, very good. The shadow of things to come is Old Testament. If you look in the parking lot, you see nothing, but you see a shadow. What happened? You'll be terrified, right? There probably is a ghost. All right. But on the other hand, you look into the parking lot, there are so strong sunshine. Something in there, but no shadow. What happened? There's a tree, but no shadow. What happened? Something different, right? Very strange. So under the sun, if there are some substance there must be shadow. Substance comes first, shadow comes second, right? But the Bible just reversed. The shadow comes first. Shadow means, the substance is coming, you know? The shadow means the prophecy in the Old Testament. So Old Testament is just like an arrow pointing on a direction, pointing on a goal, pointing on a person. And what is the substance? The substance is Christ. So the direction of Old Testament is to prepare a person, Abraham. From the person, prepare a nation, the Israelite. From the nation, prepare a savior, Jesus Christ. So Old Testament and New Testament cannot be separate. If we want to understand the New Testament very well, you have to understand Old Testament. Without understanding Old Testament, our understanding of New Testament seems like no foundation. Also, these two are interrelated. So Old Testament and New Testament are related. One is shadow, one is a substance. Two cannot separate from each other. And Old Testament, we don't want to talk about structure because time is too long, it's too short. Now we're talking about the structure of New Testament. The structure of New Testament have three parts. Historical books, pastoral letters, and prophecy. You know, when the truth seeker come to the church, we want them to study to cultivate a habit of Bible reading, where do you suggest to start with? If the truth seeker come, where do you suggest the person to start with Bible reading? The best way is not from Old Testament, because a lot of truth seekers have same reflection. The God in Old Testament, I cannot worship. I can only worship the God in New Testament. Because the God in Old Testament killed too many people. So I don't like it. No. But actually, the God in Old Testament is the same God with the New Testament. Right? No. And the substance is Jesus Christ. So usually we ask the truth seeker to study from four Gospels first. The central figure of the Bible, Jesus Christ. So New Testament composed of three parts. Historical part, pastoral letter, and prophecy. And historical part and composed of two parts. The first part is Synoptic Gospel and the Book of John, the history of Jesus Christ. How was Jesus born? And what did he do? And what did he say? How did he die? How was he resurrected? And how was he ascended to heaven? And the Synoptic Gospel is a little bit different from Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is talking more about the deity of God. And the another four Gospel is talking more about Jesus Christ as a person. And how about Acts? Acts is the history of the work of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus ascended to heaven, and he sent down the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit continued to work on the ministry of God to be expanded, the kingdom of God to be expanded. So we understand the structure, then when you study the particular book, you will not get lost. You know, this book among the New Testament, where is the position of this book? Now, letter of Paul and others, the book of Romans, the theology of justification by faith, and other pastoral letters. How many letters did Paul wrote in the New Testament? How many? How many books did Paul write in New Testament? How many? How many books? The reason I ask question, so you are not sleepy, your brain can exercise. How many books did Paul write? 13. If including Hebrew, then it's 14. But Hebrew's author is unknown. 13. Okay. And pastoral letter. Now, the pastoral letters, some of them are written by, not by Paul. Okay. After, if you don't read the Bible, after the book of Hebrew, what is next? James. Then after James. Peter, right? And after 1st, 2nd Peter. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, right? Now, these are all the pastoral book. Pastoral book means when the church been established, the apostle have to write the letter to help them to build up a spiritual church. And the apostle to write a letter to help them to resolve the problem. And they collect all the writing together, become pastoral letter. So pastoral letter is to help the Christian to manage their church, to make their church grow into maturity. The last book is Revelation. And this is the book of prophecy. So Revelation, you talk about what? The second coming of Jesus. The last stage of what? Human history. I think in North Carolina, right, in Stanford University, where there's a clock talk about the human history. Right now, it's about 11:55 something. When you reach to 12 midnight, then finish. Right. So we are in the last stage of the human history, and this is the darkest age, and also this is the age with hope. So this is the structure of the New Testament. Number three. The Old Testament and New Testament are integrated as one. So that is the reason when we do the Bible study, sometimes it flips around. Sometimes Genesis, sometimes Revelation, sometimes Matthew. They're all integrated as one book. New Testament is fulfillment of Old Testament. Which book in Old Testament consider the gospel book in the Old Testament? Which one? Which one considers the gospel of the Old Testament? And that book have a lot of prophecy related to the coming of Jesus. Which book? Isaiah, yes. Unto us a child is born, right? And his name shall call what? Who can recite it? His name shall call what? Who can recite it? The first one, Wonderful Counselor. Actually, these two terms combined together, easier to understand. Wonderful Counselor. Then the next one, Wonderful Counselor. Next one, Almighty God. The third one, Everlasting Father. The last one, the Prince of Peace. A child has four titles. Almighty God is the first title, the second title, right? Wonderful Counselor means what? All your problem, he has what? Answer. There's no problem, Jesus had no answer. That's called wonderful. If there's a problem Jesus cannot answer, means He's a counselor, not wonderful counselor. Oh, right? Oh. Almighty God is all the problem he can resolve. No. Right? No. So this is called the gospel book in the Old Testament. Now, number B, historical event with spiritual meaning. So the historical event in the Old Testament have spiritual meaning in the New Testament. So we have to understand the co-relationship. So when we study the New Testament, you can understand the New Testament from the historical event in the Old Testament. For example, sojourn in the wilderness. That was a historical event. It's not an invented story, right? The Israel moved from Egypt to Canaan. It's not an invented story. Really, it did not happen. It's only an invented story. No, it's a historical event. No. And I'm not a Jew. How come why I have to study that? Why? You are not Jews. None of the Jews here, right? Why we have to study the history? The Jews, Israel, come out of Egypt and travel 40 years and you go into Canaan. Why? Why you have to study it? Why? Spiritual meaning. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? Crossing the Red Sea represents what? Baptism. So, baptism is the beginning of your journey in the wilderness. And Canaan will be what? The heaven or the kingdom of God. So, when you study the book of 1 Corinthians, if you understand the Old Testament, it helps you to interpret correctly. Okay? The second, conquer the promised land. Right? In the book of Joshua, conquer the promised land. That promised land filled with honey and milk, where is that? Spiritually. A promised land filled with honey and milk, where is this? Spiritually. What is the promise then filled with honey and milk? Spiritually. You don't know. What was the first message of Jesus preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And the promise then in the Old Testament is the first preaching of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that kingdom of God is the promise then, filled with honey and milk. And where is the promise then? Where is the kingdom of God? And Jesus Christ is in your heart. It's in the church. And filled with honey and milk. What does that mean? So if we study the book of Romans chapter 14 verse 17 or what? The kingdom of God is not in what? Eating and drinking. So when you come to the church, you have coffee to drink, that's fine, right? Thank God. But if you have no coffee, you still thank God, right? You have water. Why? Because you come to the church not because of eating and drinking, right? So some of the youths come to the church, they don't like the food, and they start go out to eat McDonald's or in and out. It missed the point. You come to the church not for eating and drinking, but for what? The kingdom of God is in where? Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is called filled with honey and milk. The kingdom of God in your heart filled with righteousness, you will not be controlled by sin. Right? And peace, you will be very peaceful and you will be very joyful. You have sweetness in your heart. And that's called filled with honey and milk. And conquer the promise then means what? Before our heart, the kingdom of God fulfilled, our heart has all different kind of lust, sinful nature there. We are very proud, and we have jealousy, and we have hatred, we have a bad temper, and we have lustful thought. All of that kind of something inside. So, we cannot inherit it. So, once we understand the co-relationship, and then it's easier that we understand the whole book. Now, in a spiritual journey, if you want to inherit the promised land. What should you do? You have to learn from the book of Joshua. Now, in the Old Testament, tabernacle, where did they start to build the tabernacle? Where? In the wilderness. Yes. Tabernacle. And tabernacle later on evolved to become what? The temple built by Solomon. And that temple eventually was torn down and rebuilt by whom? You don't know. Right? Initially by Israel and Nehemiah. And they don't stop. And they don't renew the building by Zerubbabel, right? In the book of Haggai. And this is a historical event. Right? So if you study the book of Haggai, how come I have to study the Haggai? I'm not Jewish. Because the book of Haggai has the spiritual teaching of rebuilding the true church. Now, and how come I had to study how to build the tabernacle? Because the true church is the tabernacle. It's the place where God abides. So these two are interrelated. So we have to understand the historical event with a spiritual meaning. Oh, so this is so-called the first stage, understand the structure of the Bible. Now, point B. After we understand the whole structure of the Bible, then we have to understand the theme of the book. The theme of the book means what the book is talking about. That means the theme of the book. Just like a sermon. One day you will be assigned to lead the sermon in the church, right? And what is the topic? The topic is the conclusion, the main point what of your message. So when the people look at the topic, oh, they know, oh, you have point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All the points summarized is the topic of the sermon. The theme is the same. If the book had 20 chapters, and after I study the 20 chapters, I sum up everything together into one point, and that point is the theme of the book. And sometimes the theme of the book, you can find a verse from that book, and that verse will represent the theme of the book. Now, you don't open the Bible. Let me ask you, huh? The theme of book Acts, what's that? The theme of book Acts. You don't know, then I give you Acts chapter 1, verse 8. 1 minute. Verse chapter 1, verse 8. Who can recite without opening the Bible? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hey, your campus fails you. I know some of you studied Acts for so many times. Overkill already. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you cannot recite it. Okay. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. Finish. You shall bear the witness from Jerusalem or from Rome and the end of it. From Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the end of the earth. Yeah. And that is called the theme of the Acts. So what does the book 20 chapter of the book Acts is talking about? It talks about chapter 1, verse 8. No. Also the chapter 1 is the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? Before Jesus' ascension. And then after Jesus' ascension, they go into the Jerusalem upper chamber. They start to pray. And Acts chapter 2, what happened? The pouring down of the Holy Spirit, right? And the later part of the Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and started to preach. How many people baptized? 3,000 or 5,000. 3,000? Are you sure? 3,000 or 5,000? You are not sure. 3,000. All right. And then later on, the gospel gradually expand from Jerusalem. And when Acts chapter 28, where did Paul go? Rome. At that time, considered the end of the earth. Right? So you catch one verse and you know the whole chapter is talking about. And once you have the picture of the whole, the theme of the whole chapter, right? And you study to Acts chapter 13, 14, 15, you will never lose direction because you know where you are. You know the theme already. Now, Roman chapter, Roman, what does the book of Roman talking about? I was told the next section you are going to study the book of Roman, so I'm not going to touch that area. And how about John, the book of John? The theme of the book John, can you find one verse? Chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 31. Brother, one more. Read aloud. Okay. These are written. This concerning from chapter 1 unto chapter 20. That the purpose. You may believe Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. So from chapter 1 to chapter 20, if you analyze carefully, no matter where Jesus went, people keep on asking the question, who is Jesus? Some people say he come from God. Some people say no, he came from Satan. They keep on asking. Those who know Jesus is coming from God, they start to follow him. Those who feel Jesus come from Satan, they want to stone him to death. So the whole chapter is arguing about who is Jesus Christ. So in the book of John, there are several self-introduction of Jesus Christ. How many? How many self-introduction in the book of John? Seven. And all the self-introduction start from where? All the seven self-introduction start from what sentence? I am. Right. And later on we will study what that means. And then the other part, that believing you may have life in his name. After you study this, you can believe him and you have life. And that is the theme of the book of John. So, we have understood then the theme of the book. And each chapter is part of the theme. So it's just like a puzzle, right? You put each chapter all together, and so each chapter is part of the theme. So how can I know the theme of the book? How? If I want to study the book, how do I know the book, what this book is talking about? Very simple, but it takes time. Very simple. Just like we talk about Acts, right? The book of Acts. You just reading from chapter 1 to chapter 28. You still get lost. I don't know what it's talking about. Then you read the second time, right? After the second time, a little bit clear, but I'm still lost. What should I do? Then you read the third time. How many times you read? You read to a point you can grasp the whole book and summarize the whole book with few sentences. And then the theme will come out. So Bible study takes time to prepare. Do you know? It doesn't mean when I come to the Kemba Fellowship, it's my turn. So 5 minutes before, I take a book from my bookshelf about Bible study guide. Now, on the one hand, we read the text, everyone, that text, each one read one verse, and I keep on reading the Bible study guide. That's irresponsible. Now, that kind of way to conduct Bible study is irresponsible. Now, when you are in charge of Bible study, if you want to give an introduction to the whole book, you have to keep on reading, 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 reading until you close your eye, you can tell what the whole book is talking about. It takes time. But if you really prepare that way to conduct a Bible study, after the Bible study, that book becomes yours. What does that mean? You know the whole book, teaching of the whole Bible, whole book. It's so wonderful. Now, so each chapter is a part of the theme. Now we're going to number C. Understanding the structure of the book. You know, Bible is a spiritual book. Spiritual book means doesn't mean because it's very spiritual, so it's no logic there. Oh, logic related to science, right? Oh, so more scientific mind person are more logic, and more artistic person are more romantic, right? Sometimes no logic. Right? But it's not in that way, right? Understanding the structure of the book. Oh, what the structure means? The book can be divided by how many different sections? And each section have their logic sequence there. Oh. You know, the in the past 10 years, one person very articulate in presentation. Do you know who? Steve Jobs, right? You know, right? Oh, when he did the iPhone presentation, it's wonderful. Nobody dozing. Oh, why? Because he know the present the whole idea with a very simple words, and that people remember the most important point. Oh, the same thing. Bible, you read carefully. There are many, many important points. There are many different kind of sections. So you have to understand the structure. Now, let's give example, practical example. The book of Acts, how can you divide the book Acts into sections and that section interrelated to each other? If you divide the book of Acts by workers, how do you divide? The book of Acts, divide the section of book Acts by workers. How do you divide? The book of Acts mainly talk about how many workers?
1, 2, 3, 4, or 12. Jesus had 12 disciples, right? And then Jesus entrusts his mission to the disciples. So the book of Acts is talking about how many disciples? Huh? So my last Judas still have the other. So book of Acts talk about how many disciples? Huh? You don't know. If you go through the whole book a few times, in your mind will emerge how many workers? Three. Three considered Peter, right? The table needs to have three legs, so the table will not ever correct. No, three, right? Two.
Oh. One is the apostle of Jews. Another one is the apostle of Gentile. Who are the two? The apostle of Jews is Peter. And Peter, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, when is the missionary trip start? Chapter 13. So chapter 1 to 12, the first section, many talk about Peter. Chapter 13 to the end, many talk about Paul. Oh, so you can divide into these two parts. So when you read the book of Acts, then your mind is more clear, right? Oh. How come it's so important? Because from Acts chapter 1 to chapter 12, according to historical events, how many Gentiles baptized? from Acts chapter 1 to chapter 12. The most famous one is who? The eunuch of Ethiopia, right? Oh. And then Cornelius, right? All the others are all Jews. But when the missionary work start, a lot of non-Jews start to believe, right? Oh. How come it's so important? Because some people commented, right? TJC is what? A Chinese church. Is that fair? It's not fair. Of course, it's not fair. You go to Africa, except South Africa, all the TJC members are African. You go to the India, all the TJC members are Indian. Oh, right? You go to the South Korea, all the TJC members are Korean, right? The same thing. Oh. But when the time keep on going, you know the ministry of God will expand. And then all nation is going to have a TJC member, and then you are going to see that a lot of non-Chinese will believe. So this is only a temporary phenomenon. Our gospel may be only reached to Acts chapter 11. When you reach to the chapter 13, you are going to see more people being baptized. All right. So we have to divide by section. Ephesians, you can divide into two parts. The first three chapters, it talk about God's work in Christ and transform. The second, from chapter 4 to chapter 6, transformation in Christ. So the first part is talk about theological discussion. What did God do in our salvation? The second part talk about the transformation of practical life. So if we are able to divide the book by sections and very logically, clearly, it's very easy you can understand the whole picture of the book. Number two, structure help us to understand each chapters. And each chapter is part of the sections. So after we understand the section, and then you study each chapter in that section, you even will help you to understand more clear. Now, number D, understand the theological topic of the book. A book composed of theological topics. Understand the topic help us understand the book. Just, for example, we just mentioned, right? John, book of John talk about seven self-introduction. Start from I am, right? Jesus say in the John chapter 7 and chapter 8, don't open the Bible, I ask you, before Abraham was, what happened? I am. There is some grammar mistake, right? Before Abraham was, it's past tense, I am. What does that mean? You cannot understand until you come back to the Bible, right? When the Exodus chapter 2, Moses asked God, what is your name? How did God answer? I am who I am, right? I am who I am actually is I am. So only one being in the universe can be forever I am. And that being is God himself. So God is I am. So if you read the Bible of John, Jesus Christ say, if you don't believe I am, you will die in sin. What the I am means? God. If you don't believe I am God, you will die in sin. So this is called theological topic. Now, and if we understand the theological topic, then you understand pretty much the whole book of John is talk about what? It's talk about the deity of God. We understand Jesus Christ from the perspective of the deity of God. So I am. Now, who can recite seven I am? The first I am what? I am the bread of life in chapter 6. The second I am the light of the world. the third I am. Huh? No, in chapter 9 or chapter 10. I am the gate before the shepherd. I am the gate, right? The fourth I am, the same chapter. I am the good shepherd. The fifth I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sixth I am the life, I am the resurrection. The seventh I am the true vine, right? Oh, so there are many theology topics in every chapter, in every book. You understand each theological topic, and you come by together is the theological theme of the book. Oh, just like the book of Romans, right? Because you're going to study very soon, right? In the book of Romans, I count at least there are five theological themes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five theological themes. If we are able to study in depth of the five theological themes, and you combine together, then you can understand the book of Romans very well. So, you have to look into the theological theme, topics. Now, point E, understand the key words of the book. The key words help us to decode the book, because the book is quoted, so sometimes it's very difficult to understand. Book of Acts, the key words are Holy Spirit, witness, the growth of the church. It comes up many, many times. If you understand these few key words in a biblical term, it will help you to understand the book. The book of John, I am, and Jesus, the Son of God, truth, light, darkness, words, knowledge, belief, abide, love, world, witness, judgment. If we understand every word, the theological meaning, then it's very easy for us to understand the whole book of John. And the last one, the key word helps us to understand theological topic in the book. So this is how we study the book effectively. Praying status. Amen. Rest.